If the argument is that Tiger Woods is trying to catch you when it comes to Masters, yeah, like that is so elite.
We all followed Tiger up 18. They let everyone do it. They knew what this meant.
It's Masters Week, and we're about to show you the most iconic shots and stories in Masters history. What is up, everybody? Thank you guys for joining us on today's Locker Room Talk. And yes, it's Masters Week, which is one of the most beautiful weeks of the year. Really one of the few weeks, at least from my vantage point, that I really, really pay attention to golf. So we thought it would be a fantastic idea, especially with Blaine out with the flu, to give you the most iconic moments in Masters history, or at least the ones that we can generally remember in our lifetime. Now, shout out to Gene Sarazen in 1935 and all that stuff, but I'm not going
you
back.
You don't remember that one?
No, I'm not. Anything that's pre-World War II,
Is that the shot heard around the world?
That was the shot heard around the world, and it was fantastic. You know, again, they said Bobby Jones saw it too from the green when he holed out there for the Albatross. But, Coney, I want to start, because you instantly think about, you know, Tiger Woods and all these big names. But I want to start with the second biggest name, or some people consider the biggest name, and then Tiger's the second biggest name, with Jack Nicklaus and the putt he hit on 17 in 1986. Now, a lot of people had counted him out in this Masters tournament. He was able to come back and put himself in a position. So he gets to 17 in this putt, and he even said it, looked a lot easier on TV than it was in real life, which is most of the times the case in golf. You really can't see the changes in elevation, whether that be on the green, whether that be in the fairway or whatever. But one cool part about this is his son was caddying for him. So the story goes that his son had told him he thought the putt was going to break one way, and Jack disagreed with him and thought it was going to break the other way, which set up for one of the most iconic putts and most iconic calls in the history of golf. Let's go ahead and watch Jack Nicklaus here on 17. I think this is about 12 feet. Drain this putt. It was huge, and he'd go on to win the Masters. Let's play it.
With one of golf's most indelible images.
Point at it, Jack.
Yes, sir.
Look at the clothes that the people are wearing back then.
I love it.
Green jacket.
The golden
six
there.
Green jacket.
I just want to hear the audio between father and son when he said, Dad, I think it's going to go this way.
Like, nah,
I've been here before.
It's. Does it get cooler than that?
You know, let's just talk about Jack for a second. So his first Masters win at age 23, last Masters win that you're talking about at age 46, the second Masters win he had, I believe that was the 1965 is when he broke the scoring record. And you were talking about Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones said, he plays a game with which I'm not familiar. Yeah. Imagine that sort
and
of
and if Bobby Jones, that's like Bobby that's Jones. Like Joe DiMaggio being like, he's playing a game which I'm not familiar with.
No, exactly. But baseball. Here's one that not a lot of people know. The year after Tiger broke the scoring record in 1997, we're going to get to that one. The year after that, Jack finishes tied for sixth at the age of 58.
Bro, it's incredible. It's incredible.
How, are you kidding me?
Like, the run that Jack went on. And again, I think it if the argument is that Tiger Woods is trying to catch you when it comes to Masters,
yeah,
like that is so elite after what Tiger did to the game of golf. I mean, look at the cuts made in a row, all the tournaments that he won. But Jack Nicklaus, man, the Golden Bear.
Golden Bear.
Six green jackets. Damn, that's impressive.
One of the greatest things to come out of Columbus, Ohio. Him and Diana Cohn.
You always can just circle it back. You can just absolutely circle it
back. Still, the Michigan golf course there on campus, one of the coolest, one of the toughest golf courses that I've played. You go out there, there's still legends about Jack on the 18th green. On 18, you have to get over a large pond to be able to reach the green, or at least that's how it was when I was playing. There's still legends about how Jack would just get over that, not laying up at all to be able to get over that pond. So, you know, his legend lives on for a reason.
Absolute monster.
Well, while we talk about Tiger Woods, first win in 1997, 21 years old, is breaking the scoring record and wins by 12 strokes. I do want to talk about the last Masters win for him in 2019 after all the injuries, and there was a conversation about, is he ever going to win another major, all the personal drama going on in his life, he wins then. And then also we have to talk about the chip, which to me maybe is the most memorable moment in Masters history that didn't happen in either one of those two. It was the 2005 Masters, and I think we have the video here.
I remember watching this live. This is so sick. Go ahead and play this. Look at the crowd, dude. Look at the difference in what they're wearing as opposed to that. Here it comes. Come on down, baby. Come on down.
Like, when do you know?
I think right here.
Right here. Look at this. And pause for the Nike commercial.
Bang.
Buckets.
Cone, is this the best branding moment in sports history? If you're Nike, you could not in your wildest dreams have drawn up a better scenario. You've got the Nike hat, the Nike shirt. You're in the Masters with Chris DeMarco. It's nut cutting time. You chip one in where the ball stops where you can barely see the Nike logo. And then the last revolution, the Nike logo on the ball flashes and goes in. Iconic Tiger celebration. That to me, I went back in my mind. Like, is there a better branding moment in sports history? Like Michael Jordan, jumping from the free throw line with the tongue out and stuff like that. Incredible. I don't think there's ever been a better branding moment. You remember the commercials that came out after? They still run them. They still run them today. But going back to the two you brought up, what is more impressive to you? The Tiger Woods kind of coming out party when he wins by 12 strokes in 97. Then he has that iconic hug with his dad. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Or like right here, what a great picture with Earl Woods. And that really, Tiger was already obviously onto the scene, but this just shot him into a stratosphere because he didn't just win.
Yeah.
You talk about playing a game nobody else is playing. But what's more impressive, that or in 2019, when you've gone through all the injuries and you had the crash and all this stuff and nobody ever thought that you would be back, you come back and win the Masters in 2019, and you didn't blow everybody out. You kind of waited everybody out.
It's funny because I was going to ask you this exact question, so you beat me to it, so I guess I'm going to be on the hook for answering it. It's probably 1997, beating the field by 12 strokes when you're 21 years old. It's probably that.
You know what's fascinating about successful businesses today, like Gymshark or Cotopaxi? It's not just about having a great product or cool marketing. It's about what's happening behind the scenes, because the real game changer is often the business powering the business, making every sale seamless and simple. And that's where Shopify comes in. And nobody, I mean nobody, does selling better than they do. That's why they got the number one checkout system on the planet. And you want to know their not-so-secret secret? It's called Shop Pay, and it boosts conversions by up to 50%. That means way fewer abandoned carts and way more of this. Go ahead and hit it, David. That's right. Because if you're serious about growing your business, you need to be everywhere your customers are, whether they're scrolling through their phone or strolling past your storefront, web social feeds, physical stores, you name it. That's why businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. So upgrade your business today and get the same checkout companies like Gymshark and Cotopaxi you use with Shopify. Hit it one more time for me, David, so you can hear that beautiful sound of you making money. And sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/CRAIN, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/crane to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/crane.
Let me tell you my experience with the 2019 Masters win. Tiger had just won the Tour Championship in 2018 in Atlanta at East Lake, and I was living there. And when Tiger was finished, I think he finished Saturday in the lead or tied for the lead. I said, okay, I'm getting tickets for Sunday. So Darby Lou and I, we got tickets. We went out there. We followed Tiger the entire round. And when he came up 18, when you knew he was going to win, I'm getting chills even thinking about it right now. One of the coolest moments in sporting event history for me personally. We all followed Tiger up 18. They let everyone do it. They knew what this meant because he had gone through that decade without a major victory. This might be the last one. Not really a major, but still the biggest win since he had won his last major. We followed it up, and it was so historic that there was like two dozen of us that had video footage that got called in for interviews after the fact just to talk about what it meant, Tiger Woods' comeback story. And then the next year, he actually wins the Masters again. And I do think it speaks to how much Americans and sports fans love a great comeback story. And even talking about it now, I'm getting chills.
Yeah, well, you know, we love underdogs that come out of nowhere to win, but we also love the big dog that falls from grace that then comes back and wins. Americans love both of those. The dominance level is so incredible about the run he went on. I agree with you that it's probably 97, right? When he won the Masters by 12 strokes, just because he reinvented the game of golf. Like, we see guys now like hammering the ball down the fairway, like Bryson DeChambeau and these guys, 340, 350 yard drives. It was like Tiger was playing with an aluminum baseball bat in the major leagues and everybody else was playing with wood. He redefined the way that you played the game because you had to hit it long, not just off the tee, but with your long irons and stuff like that. It was just insane. I want to go back to 1987. A guy named Larry Mize, who lived in Augusta, Georgia, where the Masters is. So he sneaks into a playoff with Seve Ballesteros and Greg Norman. Nobody's given this guy a shot. Like, this is like, okay, this guy kind of lucked into getting here. So Ballesteros bogeys the first playoff hole, so he's out of it. So Norman and Mize tie that hole to move on to another sudden-death playoff. So Mize is short of the green. Norman is a little bit, he's closer, but he's short of the green. And Mize is chipping, just trying to get it close. And this happens, unfortunately for Greg Norman, but one of the greatest moments in Masters history, 1987. Let's play the clip.
On the fringe, Larry Mize will be trying to get his ball close.
So, yeah, so you see Larry's right there. Norman's right there on the fringe. Mize is obviously here in the fairway. Again, look at what everybody's wearing.
Mize thinking
just an absolute butter festival from out here. And I think he knows right here. Then he goes nuts. That's me, dude. I'm going nuts. That's dude, it's basically a walk-off. And he goes on to win it. Just, again, talk about an underdog. Talk about, I mean, Augusta native against the shark, man. Like Greg Norman, he ends up winning it. Just an incredible story.
How about Phil Mickelson? Par 5, 13th. This was the 2010 Masters.
So this might be...
I find myself in this situation.
Oh, it's well, I'm there more than
I mean, I'm hitting four, but, you know.
He likes it.
Clean contact.
God, that sounded good coming out, too.
Look at that. Pin in the front. That's the pin, man. It's not like the pin's in the back, you know, and you're just running it up there. Pin in the front, over the creek, behind the tree. I just.
Well, like, Phil, too, like, it's watching him play around, like, because everybody talks about his short game, like, the shots that he hits. Like, they're almost like trick shots. Like, if anybody's going to do that, it'd be Phil. Or maybe this next guy that we're about to watch, who's also left-handed, in Bubba Watson, literally in what we call Jake's spot, to bring it up, there in the pine star, in the trees, and a sudden death. Sudden death situation.
Oh, this wasn't a sudden death, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's play this. This was a Mickey Mouse shot. Let's play it. Got the leaves. Know that feeling.
Seriously lofted.
So you can't even see the hole.
The range, you hit a wedge.
No.
This is like
big,
straight out of
Big Trust.
Big Trust. This is like straight out of the Legend of Bagger Vance.
Good, a bit of adrenaline.
So 155 out.
Yeah, this is 155.
Yum. Watch this one.
Did it hook?
Perfect. Perfect, dude.
Wow.
Just perfect. I can't do that when I actually hit the fairway and I'm 155 out. I will tell you this about Bubba Watson, though. I do have a little bit of a negative on Bubba Watson here. That same uncle who I was telling you about told me a story about when Bubba was coming up. He played a tournament in Mississippi at the course where my uncle was a member at. And he won the tournament. And when they did the trophy presentation, he got the trophy, went up and said, "This is a goat ranch." Throws the trophy in the trash can and just leaves.
I believe you because I've heard a couple stories like that myself.
Yeah, Bubba's that like, that's and tough. Again, I've never met the guy personally. You know, he could be the greatest guy of all time, but I've heard stories where...
That's terrible.
Yeah, he isn't exactly the most
I do think guy. He was the first Georgia Bulldog to win the Masters.
Yeah.
In that, with that 2012 win.
Man, he's good.
The 1961 Masters, when Arnold Palmer and Gary Player are coming up 18... Arnold Palmer has a one-shot lead, trying to be the first back-to-back champion to win. Gary Player goes on to beat him in that Masters to become the first international champ. Those are some of the years where it's like, man, I really wish I could have seen that one in person.
For sure. And one of the things I like the most about the Masters, and, you know, obviously, you know, Arnold Palmer not around anymore, but when they do, like, the tee-off of, like, the greats, you remember they, like, hit the ball off the tee and, like, it was like this... It's like all the nostalgia and like pageantry of golf into one thing. Like Jack would tee off, Gary Player would tee off, and then obviously, you know, Arnold Palmer, when he was alive, would tee off. But this week is just so special, man. Like it's one that I always circle on the calendar. Obviously, it's a major. It's the major of the majors, in my opinion. That and the British Open. I hope we have another thrilling finish.
It's always awesome. Yeah, those honorary tee shots always remind me of just how bad my game is. The 90-year-olds piping it down the fairway.
No, like it's just, and again, TV doesn't do it justice. Like the undulating greens and like how crazy the elevation is in the fairways. But these guys are so good. It's absolutely ridiculous. So let us know in the comments after you hit that like button. What was your favorite iconic moment of the Masters? Which one should we put on there? And just how you feel about it and who you are picking to win this year's Masters in Augusta. We appreciate you joining us.